Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. So glad you're here today. We're going to continue the message that we started last week, Psalm 23. And if you remember, we started the psalm off by saying the Lord, and then we listed some characteristics. I invited you to list some characteristics of the Lord, and just to say them out loud, and I repeated them so that our friends listening online can hear and what we're saying, because the microphone may not pick you up as well. And so the assignment this morning that I'm giving you is, in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to participate in the message again by picking out the psalm that relates to your age. So those of you listening online, whatever your age is, if you're 40, pick out Psalm 40 and read down through there and pick out the one verse that God has for you this morning. Whatever your age is, related to the psalm, God's got a verse for you in that psalm. And so in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask our folks in the congregation here to read that verse that God has spoken to them, and you'll see how it ties into the message. And so you at home listening, you can do the same thing. Go ahead and pick it out, and you can feel like you're joining in with us as well. Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we kind of captured the first three or four verses last week, and we want to jump in where it says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness." We talked about being led beside still waters, right, and restoring our soul. He says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, if I were to take you on a journey somewhere, say we were going to go hiking somewhere, and I said, "I know the trail," and you said, "Okay, I don't know the trail. I've never been on this trail before." And I said, "Well, just follow me for my name's sake." Then you would follow me, and hopefully the trail would lead the right way, and I would lead you the right way, and we wouldn't run into any problems, right? When I was a teenager, we went spelunkering one time, us boys. It's about 40 of us. We went cave exploring, spelunkering. And we were at Cloudland Canyon State Park. My youth pastor, Gary Leffler, who may be listening, he and Sheila may be listening this morning, but he took us on a cave exploring trip a mile or so back up under in this cave. And he said, "I know the way to go, and if you'll do what I tell you, you won't fall off of one of these ravines and drop for 7 days to the bottom of the earth," right, to the center of the earth. And so we were all zero laser focused in on wherever Gary stepped, we would step, right? He said, "Follow me." And we did. We had a great trip. It was a great time. But we followed him because he said, "Follow me." And what the psalmist is saying is, he says, God leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So God's got his name on the path he's leading you down. In other words, God is guaranteeing, so I put my name on it. I'm signing the paper here. I'm signing the deed on this thing, that if you will follow this path, it will lead you where I want you to go, where I need you to go, and where you really want to be. Now, you may choose other paths along the way, but my name is on this path. And as you and I listen to his voice, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." That's what he says over in John chapter 10. As we hear his voice and as we follow him, we're following on the path for his name's sake. He's put his name on this thing. He's put his name on your life and on the path that he's chosen for you to walk in. Now, your path is different than my path. If we're following Jesus, we're all on the narrow path, right? That's a different picture, but the path he wants me to walk, he's letting me walk for his name's sake. Isn't that amazing? He says, "You can take my name if you follow my path. And if you follow my path, then you've taken my name. And I put my seal of approval on this." So he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, righteousness means being in right relationship with God. It means having that abiding relationship that we talked about last fall, the word abide. It means that abiding relationship that we have with him. But as we read in Revelation chapter 19, it says, and the bride has made herself ready for the wedding, right? She's made herself ready by the righteous acts of the saints. So righteousness is not just walking down a path doing nothing. It's walking down a path doing the things that God has called us to do. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which were prepared in advance for us to do. So the paths of righteousness that God leads us down, it's not this static path where we're just walking like a zombie from point A to point B and we'll get there. Along the way on this path, we're going to run into some people who've been robbed and left for dead. We're going to be the Good Samaritan who runs into the person who's in trouble, right? And we help them along the way. We're going to be on that kind of path. Sometimes the path may be a little bumpy. Sometimes it may be a little rocky. Sometimes it may be in a ravine. Sometimes it may be by the lakeside. But whatever path we're on, God says, I need you to walk this path because there are acts of righteousness that you need to do on this path. And the Bible says that the bride was given white linen that represented the righteous acts of the saints. So at some point in heaven, when we walk this path and do the righteous things that God wants us to do, we receive some sort of glory or honor that God gives us, right? It's represented as white linen, but there's something more, it's something deeper than that, right? We don't know what it is. So he leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake, not my namesake, but for his namesake. Now, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, right? Now, what is this valley of the shadow of death? Back in the day, it could have been the ravines that people walk through. And you know, when you walk through a valley, you walk through ravines, people can hide out. That's where the thieves used to hide out, because they could hide behind a rock or in a little cave in the ravine there and run out and attack you and steal your stuff and like the story of the Good Samaritan, leave you for dead, right? And so the psalmist is saying, David is saying, even if I walk through one of those, even if there are bad guys hiding in the rocks, I'm not worried about it. That's what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David may have had in mind the children of Israel, right? When they were called out of Egypt, what do? They left Egypt and they got to what? The Red Sea, right? Remember the story of the Red Sea? And, you know, the wind of God blew and it parted the sea, and this mountains of seawater on both sides, the left and the right. And they walked through on dry ground to go through the valley of the shadow of death. If that had collapsed on them, it would have killed them, just like it eventually killed Pharaoh's army. It collapsed in on them. It was the first largest aquarium ever. Right? Can you imagine walking through that? God probably had some crazy, wonderful things for people to see, things they had never seen, because the Jewish people were afraid of the sea, as most people were. They're afraid of the sea. It's deep, it's dark. Can't see down through there. But here God raises these walls up, right? And they walk through and they're going, what in the world is that? That's a shark. Oh, that's a stingray. That's a porpoise. You know, they walk through seeing these things, right? God probably gave them these joyous things to look at in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. They're in an aquarium. Mm-hmm. Did you read about the giant aquarium that had collapsed in Berlin, right? Like four stories tall, 40, 47 feet tall, something like that. Largest, you know, tallest aquarium ever. 1,500 fish in it. And the thing just went poof and exploded. People were sitting around eating. It was in this big hotel lobby thing. And people got washed out in the street, fish flopping all over the place. I love the commentary. It said, most of the fish died. Well, of course they did. What option? I can just see people running around scooping them up, right? Where am I going to put this thing now? I heard the chef cooked a really great meal later. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. But if you've ever been in one of those types of aquariums where you can walk through and it's all around you, it's amazing, right? The psalmist is saying, even in the midst of that, I'm not worried. I'm not afraid. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, the shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a snake can't strike you. And the shadow of a disease can't smite you. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Do you remember discovering your shadow as a child? Yeah. And playing with it, you know, and getting the right light, and your shadow's out here, and you're doing the things, you know. David's saying, it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow because I'm on the path, heading in the right direction, and everything else around me is a shadow. It can't hurt me. I will fear no evil. You know, I was doing some reading the last couple of weeks about the powerful impact that fear has on our lives. We were talking earlier during praise time rehearsal about being afraid of spiders, right? Being afraid of spiders. And there were a few folks that admitted, yeah, I'm scared to death of spiders, right? A few folks that didn't admit it that probably should have. But anyway, what are you afraid of? About spiders and snakes, right? Well, let's just put that on a separate list. What are you afraid of? Do you know that maybe as many as half of our physical sicknesses are related to something that we fear? And we've allowed that fear to internalize itself to where it's causing us to feel bad. Years ago, I talked to a medical internist, and I asked him, I said, so when people come to you, what percentage come to you with something that's real, and what percentage come to you some sort of psychosomatic, something they've dreamed up in their head? He said, probably 85% is in their head, and the rest of it's a real deal issue. They've made it up because they're afraid of it. Job said, he said, the thing that I have feared has happened to me. Job 3:25. The thing that I feared has happened to me. What are you afraid of? Afraid of growing old and being destitute? Right? Afraid of getting some sickness or disease or illness? What are you afraid of, really deep down? David is saying if we're on this path, we don't need to be afraid of things. For God's with us. Now, we're human. We struggle with fears. All of us do at some point, sometimes more than others. But if we take Job's sentence to heart, the thing that I fear most has happened, then maybe we don't need to be fearing as much. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that we were not given the spirit of fear, right, but of strength and power and of a sound mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This one writer I was reading said that most of our gut problems, intestinal stomach problems, are related to something we're afraid of. What this author was saying. He's saying that baldness could be related to things that we're afraid of. Sorry, Spencer, I was shopping in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd, but you got some here, so it's, you're making up for it. Ulcers, this author was saying that possibly ulcers are related to things that we're afraid of. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. That should be enough for most of us, but because we're human, sometimes it isn't enough, right? But David said, because you're with me. And so then he adds, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, what's a rod and a staff, right? So back in the day, a shepherd would carry two sticks with him. One would be a staff, like a shepherd's staff with the hook on it, right? And if a sheep got off into the water, he would take his staff and hook it under the sheep and bring it back. If he fell in a hole, he could take it and hook him and bring him back. Well, what was a rod for? It was not to beat the sheep. Right? It was not to beat the sheep. It was to beat the wolves, right? It was to chase off whatever was chasing the sheep. That's what the staff, the rod was for. The staff was for comfort and, you know, and the rod was for protection. Now, that would have to be a brutal fight for a shepherd. Think about this. It would have to be a brutal fight for a shepherd to be this far away from a wolf, and that's the weapon that he had to fight the wolf off with, a rod that was this tall with like maybe a knob on the end of it. I mean, can you imagine swinging at a dozen wolves that came after your sheep, chasing them down perhaps? That's some serious shepherding, wouldn't it be? Mm-hmm. Jesus is the good shepherd. What do you think he does with his rod and his staff daily with us? He beats the pudding out of things that come against us. Right? Come on now, work with me here. Don't you think he's acting on our behalf with the things that we're afraid of? Don't you think he steps into our life and says, I know you're afraid of this, and I'm going to beat the pudding out of this thing so it'll leave you alone. We're not on this path alone. We're not on this path by ourselves. He's walking with us. A good bit of time he's carrying us. Sometimes he's dragging us down this path, right? Sometimes we look back and we see two heel marks dug in the ground. Sometimes we look back and only see his footprints because he's carrying us, right? And sometimes we look back and there's two sets of footprints walking, right? Sometimes we're sprinting ahead because we're scared to death about what's coming after us. And he's trying to chase us down and say, you don't have to run. Stop, I got this. I got my rod and I got my staff. I got this. Do you believe Jesus has got this? I will fear no evil, for you with me. And not only that, because your rod and your staff are also with you. I like knowing that when I walk down the path, if something's coming at me from my back and I don't see it, that Jesus has got my back. And he's going to pop whatever it is, right? Or he might turn around and hand me the rod and say, it's time for you to start popping, right? I'm going to let you borrow my rod for a minute. And by the way, I'm going to let you borrow my staff too because that person needs some help and you're the person to help them. Go over there and help them. Rescue them. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I just love that. You walk down the path and Jesus says, time to eat. Do you ever notice that Jesus liked to eat? He really liked fish sandwiches. Do you notice that? He made like 5,000 one time and 4,000. That's 9,000 sandwiches he's made. I think he's got some of these stores around here beat. You know what I'm saying? Just he probably likes chicken sandwiches and manna sandwiches and quail sandwiches. He probably likes sandwiches. We're going down the road. He says, it's time to eat. And you look around and say, but look at all the evil. I may be sick with this, and that person doesn't like me, and this person made fun of me, and I can't get this job I want. And we look at all the things we're afraid of, and God says, sit down. Sit down. We're gonna have dinner. And he throws his spread out here, and he puts all the food on it, and he says, we're going to sit here and eat. And you're going, but I see all this stuff around me. He said, eat, man, just eat. Just enjoy dinner. And so Jesus starts telling some stories about him and the boys and what they used to do when they walked on the earth. And you start getting mesmerized with what Jesus is telling you. And you all of a sudden, you don't realize that the evil's gone. It can't bother you. It's just been taken care of. I'm reminded of the prophet Elisha, who had a servant who cooked his meals for him. And the enemy of God came after him to kill him. And they surrounded the house, right? Just like thousands of people around the house. And the servant looks out the window and says, dude, it's like 10,000 soldiers fixed to come kill us. Elijah said, nah, don't worry about it. He said, but you don't understand. I'm looking out the window and there's 10,000 maybe 100,000, they're going to come kill us. Don't worry about it, the prophet said. And finally, the prophet prayed, and he said, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see reality. And so he tells the servant, go back and look out the window. And the servant goes back and looks out the window and says, oh, my word, what is that? And he looks out and he says, the army of the Lord was surrounding the house, right? And the army of the enemy fled. There are things going on around us that we don't even know because God is with us. His rod and his staff. And he says, just sit down and eat. Quit worrying about all this stuff. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in him and we'll have supper with him and we'll have fellowship. God invites us to have a meal in the presence of the things that we're afraid of. He said, just sit down and eat. He prepares a table for me, the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, a sheep can't scratch its head, right? It doesn't have the ability to get there and scratch. And a sheep will get all kind of bugs in their head, on top of their head. And when the shepherd anoints their head with oil, it kills all the bugs and runs them off so that it doesn't drive the sheep crazy. Because as dumb as a sheep is, when that head starts itching and it can't figure things out and life is coming at it so quick and it itches and it itches and it itches, the sheep will just run right into a wall to try to solve the problem. And the shepherd says, we can't have that. We can't have that. And he anoints our head with oil and takes care of the things that we can't take care of ourselves. And just like a good shepherd. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we look around us and we see all the things that are pursuing us, the things that we're afraid of, and we think they're pursuing us. And the psalmist ends by saying, no, goodness and mercy are pursuing me. These other things the shepherd is taking care of. Goodness and mercy are pursuing me. This morning, goodness and mercy are pursuing you this morning, right where you are. They're pursuing you. And you will dwell or abide in the presence of God forever. So, just have dinner. Sit down, have a meal. Listen to Jesus tell some stories. And reset your mind on the path of righteousness that he's allowed you to follow him with. And that he's allowed you and invited you to be a part of. And goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful psalm. Thank you for giving it to David, who gave it to us, that we could share in it. Father, there's never been a time that we have ever been out of your presence, ever. There's never been a time when you have not loved us. There's never been a time when your love and mercy has not pursued us, ever, from our creation, whenever that was. For all eternity, your love and your mercy pursue us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for being that kind of shepherd. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our hearts and our mind to receive this message and this word. And this truth, let it burrow down deep in our hearts, our souls, and our spirit, that we may be comforted this week, and that with that comfort, we can go comfort others who are struggling. So come, Holy Spirit, now, and have your way with us. For we pray in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Yeshua, that we pray. Amen.